Blog Talk Radio.
Amen. All righty.
Well, let's get into some great gospel music. Here we go.
Thank you. Yeah. God gave his son been made. Were every stalk on earth twigged, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above, would drain the ocean dry, nor could a soul compare the whole, though stretched from sky
enjoyed this portion of the service, the praise and worship part. Okay, it was wonderful. It was blessed. Amen. Woo! Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Get the Holy Ghost up in here moving. Hey, that's what we need to do. Hey, all right. Okay. Well, let's get into the message. Okay? Tonight's message is titled The Doctrine of the Holy Spirit. And it's part of a series called Anchored. So let's start out with a prayer for the opening of the service. Lord God, you have sent a light to shine on earth and have revealed your heavenly power in Jesus Christ. So that despite all the darkness and evil, we may rejoice because we have a Savior. Reveal your power in our day, Lord. Let something be done anew toward the building of your kingdom on earth, Lord. Let something draw men's hearts to you to give them light so that they may thank and praise you for all you've done and are still doing to bring the whole world into your hands, Lord. Oh, Lord God, let men be moved by the opening of the heavens. May their hearts awaken and their sadness give away to joy in Jesus Christ, our Savior. We are your children who can wait in expectation for you to set everything right, Lord. We can know that even in our troubled times, your hand is at work to reveal your will, Lord, to make your will plain to all generations on earth, Lord, as you promised to Abraham. May your name be glorified, O Lord God. May your name be honored, Lord. Your kingdom come, Lord, and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we pray this in the mighty precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, we're in a series entitled called Anchor, discussing the key doctrines of our faith which serve as an anchor for our souls. An anchor is a stabilizing device used to secure a ship to an ocean floor to keep it from drifting due to current or wind. God has given us a faith anchor and doctrine to serve to help us through the storms, rough waters of life, so we won't be swept away. 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof and correction, and training in righteousness, that a man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. See, doctrine is truth upon which a person can build their lives. It's an indispensable teachings, truths of God that define, describe, and delineate our faith. Meaning, without sound doctrine, our lives will be set adrift by the winds, currents of religious lies and cultural affections that lead us away and astray from God. So as we turn our focus to the doctrine of the Holy Spirit, I'm reminded of a boy in Sunday school who was off alone busily drawing on a piece of paper. His teacher noticed him away, walked over and asked, "What are you doing?" The boy said, "I am drawing a picture of God." The man said, "But Billy, no one knows what God looks like." And Billy replied, "They will when I get finished." That's cute, huh? So today I want to paint a picture of a third person of the Trinity in the hope of helping all of us see the Holy Spirit for who he really is and how important he is in our lives. I find it interesting that when we talk about God, most people feel comfortable discussing the Father and Jesus. But when the Holy Spirit is mentioned, we get verklempt, okay, especially in Baptist life. Yet, since Jesus' ascension some 2,000 years ago in the third person of the Trinity of whom God is determined to care for us. Nonetheless, it appears Alistair McGrath was correct when he said, the Holy Spirit has long been the Cinderella of the Trinity. The other two sisters have gone on a theological ball while the Holy Spirit gets left out every time. So let's read the statement, okay? The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God, fully divine. He has inspired holy men of old to write the scriptures through illumination. He enables men to understand truth. He exalts Christ. He convicts the men of sin, righteousness, and judgment. He calls men to the Savior and effects regeneration. Now, many generations, he baptizes every believer into the body of Christ. He cultivates Christian character, comforts believers, and bestows the spiritual gifts by which serve God through his church. He seals the believer, into a day of a final redemption. His presence in the Christian is the guarantee of God will bring the believer into fullness of stature in Christ. He enlightens, powers the believer and the church in worship, evangelism, and service. So the person of the Holy Spirit, essential to the understanding of God, is getting a working understanding of the Trinity. Simply stated, the Trinity is confounded with truths our minds can conceive but cannot fully understand. And yet the Bible is clear, there is one God who has revealed himself in three ways, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. So let me offer a crude analogy. Okay? H2O, hydrogen, atoms, and oxygen. Atoms bonded together to make water. Yet water has three forms, liquid, solid, and vapor. Or me, I am one person, and yet I'm also a son, a husband, and a dad. Okay, one person with three different roles. So God is one God who has revealed himself in the Bible in three ways, persons. And each of these persons fulfill the same cause in three different ways. For example, Ephesians 1 explains salvation is the gift of God to mankind, and yet it pertains to the Trinity. Salvation was planned by the Father, purchased by the Son, and is being preserved by the Holy Spirit. So as we discuss the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, we're focusing on one aspect of God. The meaning, the Holy Spirit in every way is equal with God the Father and God the Son. He possesses the same attributes, character, as he is omnipresent, omniscient, and omnipotent, and holy. He is eternal, immutable, righteous, just, and loving. Yet he also personal. When Jesus spoke of the Holy Spirit in John chapter 14, verse 26, he used a masculine pronoun. But the counselor of the Holy Spirit, who the Father will send him my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have told you. Meaning, the Holy Spirit is a he and not an it. He's a person with whom we can have a relationship. He has an intellect, emotion, and a will. In Revelation chapter 2, verse 7, he speaks, who has ears, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. In John chapter 15, verse 26, he testifies when the Helper comes, who proceeds from the Father, who will bear witness of me. In John 16:13, he guides, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you in all truth. So we find in Scripture we can be in fellowship with or out of fellowship with him. He can be present in our lives, or we can grieve, quench his presence through a rejection of his call upon your lives. So pertaining to this deity, the Bible says the Holy Spirit was present in creation. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, the earth was formless and void, and darkness covered the surface of the water and depths. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. So we also see his deity in that the Holy Spirit was present and active in the Old Testament, but now he takes a very prominent role in the New Testament. At Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came upon believers in a new powerful way to indwell them and enable them to accomplish the work mission of the kingdom Jesus had begun and left with his disciples. So all this to explain the Holy Spirit is God, as we experience his presence, we're engaging our Creator. So let's look at the work of the Holy Spirit. The work of the Holy Spirit is vast and amazing throughout the Bible. From Genesis to Revelation, his presence work are critical to our intimacy and ministry with God. Truth, it is impossible, not improbable, to know Christ and live for Christ apart from the Holy Spirit. The Spirit in the Old Testament. As previously mentioned, the Holy Spirit was present in the creation. He was also present in the Old Testament, coming upon many judges, warriors, kings, and prophets to work mightily through their lives. Let's look at, you can look up these later, but you can take them down in notes. Joseph, Genesis chapter 41, verse 38. And Moses, and Numbers 11:25. Okay? Joshua, okay? In Numbers 27:18, okay, or Daniel in Judges verses 3, verse 10. Gideon in Judges chapter 6, 34. Samson in Judges 13, chapter 13, verse 25. Saul in 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 9 and 10. And David in 1 Samuel chapter 16. Isaiah is chapter 61, verse 1. And Daniel is in Daniel chapter 5, verse 12. So, there's many to see there in the Old Testament. But to see is the spirit in salvation. What is our part in salvation? Can we convict? Can we convince? Can we convert? No, all we can do is receive it when it's offered or share it if we have it. But salvation, conversion, is solely the work of the Holy Spirit, His convicting work. Okay, unless I go away, the advocate will not, John chapter 16, verse 8 through 11. Unless I go away, the advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will prove the world to be in wrong about sin, righteousness, and judgment about sin, because people do not believe in me about righteousness, because I am going to the Father where you can see me no longer, and about judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. So the convicting work of the Holy Spirit is that He confronts people with the truth to reveal to them their sin and the need for a Savior. The Holy Spirit confronts to bring clarity. Let's look at His convincing work. But when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all truth, John 6, chapter 16, verse 13. The Holy Spirit doesn't just convict, confront, He convinces too. And 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 13 says, we're compelled by God's love because we're convinced this is the work of the Holy Spirit to convince us of God's love and grace. Let's look at the converting work. When the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, He saved us not because of righteous things we have done, but because of His mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ, our Savior. And that have been justified by His grace, we might become heirs, having hope in eternal life. That's Titus chapter 3, verses 4 through 7. So this is known as regeneration. In the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross, salvation is made available to anyone who would apply faith to believe, receive His grace, and those who believe. You see, God transforms our lives through the regenerating work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit makes a believer of new creation. The old is gone. Behold, all things become new. He literally makes a person a new creation from the inside out. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Now let's look at His completing work. Okay? Indwell seal. You are also included in Christ. Okay, this is Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. You're also included in Christ when you heard the message of the truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked with Him with a seal that promised the Holy Spirit, who is the deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possessions. So in receiving Christ, the Holy Spirit brands us by entering into our lives to indwell us to affirm salvation and provide eternal security. We became God's temple. Now the Spirit in the New Testament Christian, although the Spirit indwells us immediately upon salvation, His work within us takes a lifetime. His job is to enable us to do everything God desires and transforms us into the people He wants us to be. So since we now have a constant helper reminding us who we are in Christ and equipping us for the challenges we face each day, we never have struggle through life on our own strength. I mean, now don't get me wrong, this doesn't mean we'll never have difficulties, conflicts, or challenges. But through them all, the Holy Spirit will guard our way and give us His wisdom. And when we sin, He immediately convicts us so that we can confess our sin, receive forgiveness, and keep our intimacy with God. Let's look at the filling of the Spirit. Although we're sealed and dwelt by the Holy Spirit, we are saved. This isn't the same as being filled. To be filled with the Spirit means we are living surrendered to Him by acknowledging His ownership and jurisdiction over our lives as we live yielded to his own leading and living under his influence in every way. This is known as abiding life, spoken about in John chapter 15, verse 1 through 6. So in living under the influence of the Holy Spirit is an abiding relationship. The results that will bear evidence or fruit of the Spirit with love, joy, peace, etc. Okay, what's the difference between the filling and the indwelling? Well, the indwelling work of the Holy Spirit never leaves because we've been marked sealed. The filling of the Holy Spirit is dependent on our submission and obedience to the Spirit and to God's word or will. The first deals with our state of being, I am redeemed, while the second deals with our standing, I am intimate with God. The first deals with relationship, while the second deals with fellowship. Example, okay, my children are my children because they are born of me. Nothing can change the fact that they have my DNA. Yet just because they have been born of me and cannot be unborn of me, it doesn't guarantee closeness and intimacy. It requires an abiding walk. So to be filled is to abide, to live under the Holy Spirit's control. Let's look at the gifting of the Spirit. I'm not going to go into detail except two things. First, every person who's been saved, when the Holy Spirit indwells them, he gives them, as I've studied spiritual gifting, and I've come to understand it differently than most, I think believers' spiritual gifting is much like their natural-born personality. That is, that the lens by which a person looks at life before Christ, I see the world through the lens of my natural personality. Okay? Once I accept Christ as my Savior and the Holy Spirit takes up residence in me, I begin to see the world through the lens of the gifting of the Holy Spirit. Through my gift of prophecy, encouragement, mercy, giving, teaching, etc. Okay? Secondly, the gifting of the Holy Spirit doesn't tell me where I will serve the body of Christ, but how I will serve. So, point, both the filling and gifting of the Holy Spirit are manifestations of God in me, living through me for His glory. In either instance, my life yielded to the leading and influence of the Spirit is essential to experiencing His power within my life. Why? Because it's impossible to live a Christian life independent of the Holy Spirit. Let me close with a teaching I have shared with you on multiple occasions in the past from Colossians chapter 1. It's Colossians chapter 1, verse 9 through 12. For this reason, since the day we've heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continue to ask God to fill you with the knowledge of His will through all wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, so you might have great endurance and patience, giving joyful thanks to the Father. So the Holy Spirit isn't a part of the Trinity we should fear, but is the essential part of fellowship we must rely on. Okay? So let us pray. Lord God, our Father in heaven, you have sent us the Savior, who was born to bring great joy to all the people. Glorify your name, we pray, Lord. Give the world the peace you alone can give, Lord, the peace that wells up in our hearts, Lord. Let your favor rest on us so that we may hold out under our sufferings on earth, Lord. We need your loving help to remain inwardly steadfast until everyone can be reached by the message. So be strong in the grace of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, I'm going to give everybody a chance to come to know Jesus Christ tonight. Okay? And you can do so in a moment. Well, let me ask you. Are you tired of living your life, okay, traveling this long, empty road of darkness and despair, okay? Are you lacking purpose and need some purpose in your life? Or maybe you suffer from depression or anxiety. Or maybe you suffer from something worse, as an addiction such as to alcohol or drugs, okay? Or gambling, or sexual morality, okay, or overeating, whatever it may be. See, the Lord can take that away, but in order to do so, folks, guess what? He's got to know you. So my question is, Do you want to get to know the Lord Jesus this evening? If so, let's pray this prayer together. Say, Lord Jesus, for too long I have kept you out of my life. I know that I'm a sinner and that I cannot save myself. No longer will I close the door when I hear you knocking upon it. By faith, I gratefully receive your gift of salvation. I am so ready to trust you as my Lord and Savior. So I want to say thank you, Lord Jesus, for coming to earth. I believe you are the Son of God who died on the cross of Calvary for my sins and then rose from the dead on the third day. So once again, I want to thank you for bearing my sins and give me the precious gift of eternal life. I believe your words are true. So please come into my heart, Lord Jesus, and be my Savior today. Amen. And we pray this in the mighty, precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right. Well, if you said that prayer, we here at God's Rainbow Ministries want to welcome you to the family of the Lord. We want to say amen, Lord. Bless you, and may he always keep you highly favored. Amen. And if you're out there and you said this prayer, we here at God's Rainbow Ministry would like you to please call in to area code 657-383-1487 and push the 1 key. And once again, that number is 657-383-1487 and push the 1 key. When you push the 1 key, you will come on live, okay? And we can talk to you and let you know things further you need to do on top of just saying this prayer. Okay? So right now, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and all the angels and everyone in heaven is rejoicing that you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. So won't you let us rejoice with them? Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Woo! Hallelujah. I know there's many out there who got saved today. All you got to do now is just call in to area code 657-383-1487 and push that 1 key. Amen. Well, I'm going to play some more music here. Okay? I'm going to play a song, okay, that's only fitting for an altar call. Okay? Here we go.
By the weight of sin, Jesus is calling.
Amen. Amen. Well, I'm going to play something different for you this Sunday. A little bit more music. This is going to be some Christian bluegrass. So sit back and enjoy, okay? Bluegrass gospel. Here we go.
causes me to tremble,
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 tremble.
Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Were you there when they nailed him to the cross? Were you there when they nailed him to the cross? Oh, sometimes it causes me to tremble,
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 tremble.
Were you there when they nailed him to the cross?
Thank you. Just save the saving gas. been all around this world, people. Sin or love, all we know.
See your grace, Lord, and see the victory over all sin and injustice, Lord. Let your justice come on earth, Lord, and let peace fill every heart and show in every life, Lord. May all that happens to us serve the good, Lord. Help us always look to you, our Lord and God, for you have power to rule everything and turn everything in its right purpose, Lord. And we pray this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, like I said, I hope you all enjoyed, okay, the service. Okay, and I want to say thank you. Now, tomorrow, we're not going to be doing anything tomorrow because we take Mondays off. It's our Sabbath day. And we'll be back on live Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time. Okay, so see you all there. God bless. May you have a blessed evening. Okay? Amen. Thank y'all. Bye-bye.